Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to a brand new podcast, Don't Quote Me. I'm your host, Orla Condon, and each week, joined by a very special guest, we'll be talking you through all the latest pop culture news, celebrity fallout, reality TV chat, and all the other TV bits too. We'll also be sharing some of our loves of the week and getting you guys involved by sharing your stories, questions, and thoughts on the biggest news of the week. This is a new podcast for me. I'm very nervous, I'm not gonna lie. I'm very uncertain. Love Island was a safe ship that I could ride along and chat to you guys about a show that we all know and love. This is uncharted waters, guys. So please bear with me as we get into the swing of something new. My first guest is someone who will be familiar to many of you who are joining me from previously listening to my pod on paper. A safe pair of hands, if you will, to hold mine as I step into this new podcast chapter. Carla Kay, sound familiar? Coming up on today's show, the royal family, Harry and Meghan's UK return, Britney Spears faces backlash for fatphobic Instagram comments, and why Christina Aguilera has unfollowed her for it. In the year 2022, Ray J is producing receipts for that Kim Kardashian sex tape, and actress Brittany Snow and Tyler Staniland from Selling the OC announce they are separating. In other news, Carla introduces me to Brit Barbie. I'm trying to convince everyone who isn't to start watching Bad Sisters, and you're telling us the pettiest reasons you've ever had for unfollowing someone on social media. Let's get stuck in, shall we? Carla Kay, welcome to the very first episode.
I'm like, you know what I was thinking earlier? I was like, what could I compare myself to? It's like fast fashion trying to do this whole like green side of things. Just won't fuck off. That's me. So, here I am.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, how are you? I hope you get a good whole sense of who I am now.
So we know each other quite well. I'm hoping that there will be new listeners to this, right? So I'm going to give a bit of context about who we are, presuming that this is not just all holdover fans from my bottom paper. You are also welcome. But hopefully there's some new people who I'm a stranger to. Hi, nice to meet you. And you would be a regular on my other podcast, My Bottom Paper, which is a Love Island nightly debrief, where we regularly chat about the goings on in the Love Island villa. You're self our host of Unpopular Opinion, which is a kind of a topical breakdown of what people are talking about at the minute. You touch on celebrity news, but you also talk about bigger kind of current affairs issues and lifestyle discussions. And I've also been on that. So we've done this before. So it's kind of comfortable, but it's also kind of weird because I've not done this specific one before, which is weird.
Like, I know you and I know the way, like I know my pod, so this is going to be interesting.
I know. Like maybe it'll be, maybe we won't curse on this one.
I've already broke down.
I used to get DMs about that from my bottom paper, people being like, I just really appreciate it if you just wouldn't curse so much. And I was like, hon, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I just don't know what to say. I'm going to be cursing. Like, I just don't know what to say. Like,
an Irish podcast, babe.
Yeah, like, honey, like, we're getting into things. Do you know what I mean? We're having a chat. So like, I'm really sorry
I get it. A lot of people will play it in like their kitchens or something when their kids are there. So I do want to stand on that behalf, but I'm like, maybe don't go and listen to the unpopular opinion then.
Maybe
find a different one.
Maybe a set of headphones. Maybe just the one headphone. You know what I mean? Let's just keep like one eye. I'm like, it's what's going to be. Let's start the podcast as I hope to start it every week. Just asking generally, Carla, how are you? How has your week been?
My week has been bustling and busy.
Good.
He's a busy girl. But this week in particular, I've been doing a ton of makeup. There's a lot of award shows. There's a lot of events going on. So I've kind of been going back into my old bits and bobs by doing makeup for a lot of people. I've recorded a lot of podcasts this week. So I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be with you. But how's your week been, huh?
Good. I'm glad that you're coming to me at the end of a very hectic podcast recording week. I know you're going to be super fresh and on the ball.
Well, it is the morning. You got me at a good time. It is the morning. Oh,
I mean, true. We'll strike with iron's hot. My week's been good. I've just been prepping for this. It's very scary. It's very scary launching a new podcast. Like, my pot of paper was easier because it was like the train is leaving the station on Monday night and you're either on the train or you're not on the train. This train is waiting. I drive this train. So I'm like, I can leave this fucking train at the station as long as I want. So it's scary launching something new. So I've been very nervous this week, but thankfully there's some good stories that I want to kind of get into with you. And I'm really interested to hear some of your opinions on these because I imagine you definitely have some. A real mix of old characters and new, a real blend of things. Hopefully there's something for everyone. We are recording this on Sunday morning. Tomorrow is the royal funeral of Queen Elizabeth. By the time that you are listening to this, I sound like one of those YouTubers now being like, oh, this video will probably be live when you watch this. But by the time you're listening to this, done and dushed. It's over, lads. Funeral's done. I hope so. As a resident of London, I hope it's over. I hope it's over. I really do. So maybe there'll be fresh goss tomorrow. Who knows? But I want to talk about the last 2 weeks. Obviously, Queen Elizabeth died on September 8th. And since then, it has been pretty much dominating every media outlet, whether it be news or entertainment or sport, thanks to David Beckham. Everyone is talking about this. It's very much, I don't know if it's probably not the same at home, but here it is like all encompassing all of the time. You cannot escape it. And there's been some, as expected, really interesting discussions in the media, some interesting discussions on social media. How have you
coped?
How have you coped?
You're holding up, girl.
I'm also hoping some of our UK listeners, my bottom paper, are coming on over. This is a safe space, guys. I kind of want to talk more about like the general, like, craziness.
The generalness of it all. The generalness. Yeah. Like, it's funny for me because I have a British boyfriend who
is
very against the monarchy. So you're kind of getting the best of both worlds. There's been a lot of, you know, little arguments about cleaning up, and he'll be like, look, your queen didn't die, okay? So give me a break. I'll be like, very good, very good. I see what you're doing there. Cashing in, I like it. But for me, we spoke about this a little bit on our podcast, and I do have to reiterate that because we'll probably have a couple of people that'll pop over, you know, same circles. We all run in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, I understand why people are sad. I understand that it is a very, like, she was queen for the longest time out of any royal. She had the longest reign, right? She was 96 years old. She had the privilege of dying at home, surrounded by her friends and her family. This is not a tragedy.
Yeah.
This should never have been portrayed as a tragedy. This is just simply not that. It is the end of an era. So there is a lot of nostalgia that people will feel. There is a lot of kind of what's going to happen now. Like, there's a lot of uncertainty, but this in no way, shape or form could ever be portrayed as a tragedy.
Yeah.
We knew what was going to happen before it happened.
Yeah.
It's still funny. I don't think it's registered in people's brains that like King Charles is actually a king and is actually.
I know. He doesn't have to interview guys. He's just in. Like, it's like, done.
Yeah. Like, the dust is going to settle and everybody's going to be like, hold on, where's Charles and where are the corgis? Like, what's going to happen? God bless me. I was in St. Anne's Park. There's a lovely dog run there. A couple of corgis. I was like, Liz? Liz, is that you?
Blink twice if you need help.
Are you here now in Dublin? You in St. Anne's Park?
No, sorry, the Trisha Paytas stuff was the funniest thing ever. Which was like, she's gone into labor, and everyone was like, is Queen Elizabeth being reborn as Trisha Paytas' child?
Oh, I'm obsessed. If you don't know who Trisha Paytas is, get to know who Trisha Paytas is.
Like, if you don't know who Trisha Paytas is, maybe this isn't for you. Google it.
It hasn't broken you like it has us.
So. No, Google it. It's so fun. Malibu Barbie. That's Queen Liz now.
Cool name. I'm sorry. That's a cool name.
Yeah.
That's going to be a star. She's going to be a star.
I mean, she is going to be a star.
Yeah.
There was weird conversations. I think the way it was being framed, like you said, as being a tragedy, as being a shock.
I was like,
she's 96, guys. She's 96. Every day she woke up was a shock. You know what I mean? Every day they should have been like, Jesus.
Good for you. Good for you.
Fair play, girl. Back for another one. Let's go. But there's been like this rolling news coverage now for the last week. And I have to say, I've been really gripped by it. I find this kind of media and this kind of news coverage really interesting, mostly because I'm like, fair fucks to these journalists who are like, I have a 6-hour broadcast to fill, you know, 5 minutes worth of news with. Like, how do I make this stretch? They're like, we've got a corgi body language expert here.
Way the tail is wagging. I find this interesting for a different level because the British press are a menace. They're such a menace. But I feel like they fall under consistently when you think about worldwide press and you think of American paparazzi, like the way that things have gone, the stuff that's written about, you know, shadow governments and all this mad stuff. But like, I feel like it's very exposing of the nation as a whole in a way. Like, we've seen what's happened with protesters. We've seen the way that people have reacted, you know, at this point in time. It's very interesting when it came to like even the Prince Andrew stuff versus what happens when his mum dies versus does he get, for some reason, he gets away with his indiscretions for a certain period of time, because when it all comes back to it, they're obsessed with their monarchy. And I get it. It's been there for a very long time now, but there has been rumblings, and there was a real kind of backing of that when she passed away, would this be it? Would this be the, like, are we going to abolish the monarchy? Is this going to be end? Has it run its course? Has it run its purpose? Because it is a massive, massive strain on taxpayers' money. And also, it's not technically their government. It's not the thing that decides and passes, and, you know, it has a big upholding, but it's kind of faded into a little bit like what we have with the president over here versus with our actual government. So there is that kind of bigger conversation, but I did find it incredibly exposing where they're just like, let's shove all this shite to the back, and all of a sudden we're massive royalists.
Yeah.
And anyone who's not a royalist, be damned.
Yeah.
And how disrespectful and how disgraceful. And it doesn't matter who you are, or where you come from, or what your history is, or what your background is, or what your reasons are. It's disgraceful if you're not in mourning, in some kind of, I don't know, in some kind of pullback from your normal life to build on the nation's grief. It's bizarre to me.
Yeah. And I think I expected that from like the BBC. Like, I didn't expect to get incredibly nuanced coverage from the BBC, because I just thought, look, they're the national broadcaster, you know, they are a part of the London Bridge Protocol, which we heard about so much over the last week, that I was like, they're likely not going to cover the flip side of this narrative. So like, I was looking to like channels like Sky and ITV and these other UK channels to see what the narrative was. And even down to, I think it was on the Saturday I was watching, and at this point, Michelle O'Neill had made a statement from Sinn Féin. We had President Higgins had made a statement. Micheál Martin had made a statement. There was numerous statements from you know, high members of government and leadership in Ireland. And Sky was doing like a roundup of like the countries who were paying their respects. And it was like Ireland wasn't even mentioned. And I was just like, this, I find this weird that there's such a historical link here. There's such a history here. You know, many members of our government have come out and made statements. It's worth noting given our history. I just found from there, it was like, oh, you guys really aren't going to acknowledge the people who are like, who are not happy. And I mean, like, even down to that protester that we saw who screamed at Andrew when they were walking behind the coffin, you know, that was kind of not really shown. I didn't see that on any news outlets. It's like all this stuff I'm mostly seeing on Twitter.
I saw it on American news outlets more than I saw it anywhere else.
Like, it's kind of interesting, right? And then just this like Thirst for Blood with Meghan Markle, which just has come back again, is like
embarrassing at this point.
It's so embarrassing. And also it's like, I don't know, is it more jarring just because all of a sudden it kind of popped up again? Like, I felt like it was kind of ramping up for so long when she was introduced to the royal family, and you almost became kind of used to this constant murmur against her. Whereas all of a sudden now it's back, and every headline again is like, you know, what protocol is she breaking? And, you know, what smirk is she showing? And, you know, her hair was on the wrong, her parting was on the wrong side, and she was disrespected. It's like, for the love of all that is holy, like, please, like, I just find the whole thing like interesting in a way, but also just like so confusing, like so confusing. It's just this bizarre commentary where it's like, Meghan needs to get over herself, shut up and fall in line. And it's like,
I've spoken all week, by the way, Meghan, I don't think I've seen one word utter.
Like, oh, just like nothing. I saw something today where it was like a picture of her in Westminster Hall, and they were like, her evil smirk. And I'm like, she's literally just like, it's her face. Like, yeah. It's her face. Mm-hmm. Like, I've seen worse resting bitch faces. Like, please, let's not.
Get me in there and you'll have something to talk about, lads. Get me in there.
Ah, the scowl on.
Walking around every time a conversation. Like,
do you know that video of that girl in that competition show where she's like bawling, crying, and then the camera, and she's like,
that would be me spinning around. Yeah.
She's like, just like, oh.
Very me.
But it's just, I find it frustrating that she can do no right at all. No. Like, she did what you wanted her to do and she left. She removed herself from this space. While I get the merit in like the idea that, you know, the Oprah interview was whatever it was. Like, I get why people were upset about the Oprah interview. I get why they're upset that she's speaking out. I get why they're upset about, you know, Prince Harry's book. And I kind of get that stuff. But I'm like, you're taking it far, far beyond that. You're taking it down to like, the fact that she holds her husband's hand when he's grieving his grandmother. And it's like, get a life. Just get a life. Like, seriously, get over it. Like, it's just so weird to me.
I think the problem is with it is that there's so many different factors at play. You'd be here all night talking about it. But when it comes to that woman, they're so affected. It is truly embarrassing. Yeah. Like, it's very interesting how, you know, Kate got a lot of this when they first got married and whatever else like that. She didn't get this end of things, but she did get a lot of like abuse, but it was almost like perfect. We now have somebody who's actually done things that we can really, really amplify.
Yeah.
Because everything that has been like everything that's been curated and whatever you believe about Meghan Markle has essentially been presented to you by media in some way, shape or form. So yeah. Which is grand. It's kind of how we form most opinions about people. But
yeah,
there is no real basis to this. She doesn't seem to be hurting anyone, but people are so obsessed with hurting her.
Yeah.
Very odd behavior. Very.
And it's like the pitting of her and Kate against each other.
Yeah.
And now we're seeing the pitting of like William and Kate's relationship versus Harry and Meghan's relationship.
Yeah.
Which is also so bizarre to me. Like, the clip of Harry opening the door for Meghan, and then all of this new chat on Twitter, which I seem to have like unlocked this new like space that I was never in before on Twitter, of like, Kate clearly hates Will. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know this was a theory that we were
fleshing out. Interesting. Yeah. I'm like, look at them. They're deaf. I'm not shagging. Look at them. Look at the way that they look. How far back they
are. Let's have a read of these receipts, guys. Let's see what you got over here. Like, just all this stuff. It's like, it's endless. Like, endless, the commentary. And like, since I moved to the UK, I love morning television here. Like, I find this just grossly entertaining. So like, from your Lorraine's to your This Morning's, Loose Women is probably my least favorite, because I just think it's Loose Women.
Girls, come on.
When they get talking about the royals, I find it like bonkers.
Yeah.
There was something I saw on Twitter, which I thought was really interesting. In October of last year, the Twitter analytics service Bot Sentinel conducted a research, right? And they were coordinating a campaign to see what the harassment of Meghan Markle and royals was like on social media. And they were checking out the targeted harassment of Meghan specifically on Twitter. And 114,000 tweets from just 83 accounts using their combined 187,000 followers are responsible for approximately 70% of the negative and often hateful content about Meghan. 70% from just 83 accounts. Like,
but this is what it goes to show when it's relative. This is the problem with mob mentality. You're like, everyone hates her. 83 people hate her. Okay, but like, you know, in that kind of way. And it's this thing. It's like, I don't even know how, you know, she's even getting a podcast deal because, you know, everyone hates her. No, you and a select few others hate her. Yeah. Other people probably have an indifferent opinion or no opinion at all. And then there's a small selection of people who adore her.
Yeah.
And this is the problem when you think about like haters as a group. Okay. So like, say if she has 100,000 fans, 100 of them or like 1,000 of them could really, really dislike her. Out of that portion, who is a big enough dumb
tweet
to go and tweet about it?
Yeah.
Who's going to put the effort in to be public hater, you know?
Yeah. They're just like the loudest crazy.
The loudest in the room.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, it's never actual proportionate representation. It's just what little freaks are out there doing the work that they think everybody is really chuffed for.
Wild. And then when these accounts are, you know, when 83 accounts are scheduling 114,000 tweets, and then someone is like yelling about Andrew being a sick old man. That's all they said, right? Mm. You're getting dragged to the ground.
I know. You're getting like, honestly,
and arrested.
Yeah, they're tasing you. Yeah.
Someone held up a sign, abolish the monarchy. Arrested.
Yeah. Arrested.
Arrested.
Arrested for disturbing the peace. What?
Like the Andrew stuff is...
Andrew stuff is terrifying, Orla. The Andrew stuff is absolutely terrifying. Can you imagine his victims or victims of that whole setup just sitting there and being like, oh, very good. You know, oh, brilliant. I really feel just like, done.
£12 million he paid out.
I know.
Do you know what I mean?
I know.
And now the taxpayer is paying for him.
I know.
And now he's getting... And like everyone kind of had this thing of like, oh, when she's gone though... He'll be exposed. Like he won't have to say. He's literally just put him into like a solid position where he's like, if he's incapacitated, then
there's 5 of them in that. I did look that up because I was like, how? But it turns out it's just kind of one of those.
But he's number one, right? Like he's the first.
Camilla's number one. And then
Camilla.
Camilla's number one. William's number two. Andrew is like third or fourth. I actually looked this up and it was like, this is the problem with media as well. They're like sensationalizing. It's like he's next in whatever. He's like,
like I just did.
I don't know. He's making it's king or queen's consort goes number one, which is Camilla at this point in time. Right. Just like it would have been Philly for Liz.
Philly.
It will be. It's consort one and then next in line two. So that's Camilla and then William, which I think people will accept. Not the Camilla thing, but they'll accept the William part. And then the rest of them is Andrew, Edward, and then Harry, but it's, you have to be over the age of 23 randomly. And you have to be, I don't know. There's some other.
Wow.
These, but no, it's not Edward. It's Anne.
I was going to say, did she get a look in?
It goes Camilla.
Will.
No, Anne didn't get a look in. They're saying that he might remove Andrew out of it and pop Anne into it. So maybe it is.
Edward.
I can't remember. Who cares? They're all top. Royalty, you care about Andrew, the criminal.
Yeah.
Harry, the rogue.
Let's just, when this queue ends, guys, and when you're all free again, and you're all back walking around living your lives, and we're not watching the Sky News live tracker of planes flying in at Balmoral, let's shift and pivot our attention back to Andrew.
Do you know what I'd love to see, right? Just after this week alone. And then we probably should move on to a different topic because I can go all day. But you know that kind of media, you know those media surveys where they're like positive and negative, like how people think about profiles of people and like they go up in points and it's all done off a point system. Love to see where David Beckham is standing there after the weekend.
Yeah.
Because you're either mortified for him or you just, this is after stationing him further so you can be up as hell.
Yeah.
In a way.
I think there's something about it that I find like it deserves some kind of respect that he did, that he had that kind of value that he queued. But then I'm just like, you queued for 12 hours. Like
I get what you're saying. I'm like, well done to you for queuing for 12 hours for something that you believed in. Why did you believe in that? Yeah. Get me. I'm like,
the pictures of Holly and Phil though, like skirting in around the side.
Yeah, they're like.
And then this morning I had to come out with the statement and be like, they were there as members of the world's media. I'm like, what were they doing? Spin to win with the Queen? Like, what the fuck? Like, what?
Emails? Oh, doesn't matter for you.
Cooking segment live from Westminster Hall. No, like, what were they doing? Like, what were they doing?
I don't really understand. And I'm like, did we need Phil and Holly there at the coffin?
Look, guys, what I will say, right, if you've sat through this whole segment, it should be kind of over now. Like, the funeral has happened.
We hope.
The days of mourning are over. London Bridge Protocol is now done. We're into a new era. Yada, yada, yada. I feel like it's going to kind of taper out now. And we're going to be like, oh, Jesus, actually, what's happening in Ukraine? And with my energy bills. And like, with like predators bigger, the world over. Like,
bigger fish.
Let's just reharness this energy, you know? Okay, we'll move on. Another story this week that caught my attention was the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera. I think fallout is probably a bit strong a term, but the stuff that went down here in the last week, because I think it's a really interesting conversation given Britney and her history and the situations that she's been in over the last, what was it, like 13 years in the conservatorship?
Yeah.
This all started last week. She put up a post on Instagram, and obviously Britney's Instagram is hopping. Like, she is a very active Instagram user. She often poses things on there that maybe are a little bit hard to decipher or a little bit cryptic, not cryptic, but like kind of just hard to understand sometimes. It's very much just like a spill from her brain onto Instagram. And it's great that she has the freedom to do that now. And she can just share whatever she wants to share. And she's not being stifled anymore by that conservatorship. And she has the ability to make those decisions and embarrass herself on social media if she would want to, like the rest of us do on the regular, right? Mm-hmm. She posted last week a picture of a quote from Rodney Dangerfield that said, "I found there was only one way to look thin, to hang out with fat people." And in the caption, she said, what a quote from such a reputable writer.
From what a source.
From Walt Disney, that one was right.
Oscar Wilde wrote this often in his books. Perfect.
In her caption, she said, "I wish I could have chosen the nannies for my children, my dancers. I mean, if I had had Christina Aguilera's dancers, I would have looked extremely small. I mean, why not talk about it? Don't you think my confidence would have been a bit better if I could choose where I lived, ate, whom I called on the phone, dated, and who was on stage with me? It's hard sometimes now. I see how much of my womanhood was stripped away at that time, and every person sat back and didn't say a thing. Anyways, I will be here talking about the things people never talked about." And then that was what she posted in the caption alongside the quote, which... she has said stuff like this before, right? She said similar things like this before about like her womanhood being stripped away. And I saw today she posted kind of magazine covers that she had been on during her conservatorship versus before her conservatorship. But this post, I think everyone kind of applauded any post she put up being like, look, it's a sign of freedom for her. Let just enjoy it. Even if you think it's a bit silly or whatever, just let her enjoy this freedom of being able to do this. And then this was posted and people were like, I really don't know if you know what you're saying here is really, really fatphobic and like really hateful. And it's like, it's this conversation now about taking responsibility for saying something that like is offensive, mm-hmm. and the impact that had on people who find that offensive. And then also acknowledging the fact that like, she has not been able to make a decision for herself in so long, and what that would do to like your like the way you think about things,
body, like your confidence, your body, your everything, your mental state,
and like not being a part of like those kind of conversation shifts over the years. I mean, like, we all said things 10, 15 years ago that you would fucking never say now, because you're like, I know better now, and I listen to these conversations and see these things happen, and I feel like she missed a lot of that. And does that also play a part? And I find this is like a really weird, like a really gray space that she is in here.
It's a very jarring thing. Imagine having no, as you said, imagine having no control over your over social media, knowing it's around, not really having all that much time to kind of play around and understand and backlash, and everything's very controlled. And then all of a sudden you're just given free fucking reign. So she is kind of at a point where that is a fatphobic comment. The whole thing is very strange. I don't think she meant anything by it. I think when Britney posts, she posts about herself. She doesn't think about anybody else in the moment because she's trying to regain her own control. She's trying to create her own narrative, if you will. She's also has an unbelievable amount of trauma. Every single thing she says and does gets misconstrued in some way, shape, or form, even to this day. You know, I've seen people being like, was the conservatorship the worst thing in the world? And I was like, man, how are we back here? And that's how flippant people are. That's how fickle they are.
Yeah.
Where it's like you say one, like no one's saying anything about, everyone's letting Kanye West go absolutely wild.
This is
no
it. Like, yeah.
About popping him into conservatorship. I'm like, damaging to who? To whomst? Your idea of who Britney Spears was, to you or to her herself?
Yeah.
Question.
It's like as soon as that pressure comes off with that conversation, because there was a time last year where it was like, nobody would say anything, but this needs to end.
Yeah.
And now the pressure is off and we're seeing the reality of that. People are like, oh, but no, I kind of liked her more quiet and submissive when she was in. It's like, sorry, even if you don't like what she's saying or doing, that's a person living a free life. Like, that's just life. Like, shouldn't be, like, you can't just be like, actually, that person over there, I don't like. So can we get someone to manage them so I don't have to see parts about their personality that I don't enjoy?
Like, I don't really engage with them all that often. I'm just kind of coming in off the cuff of what some other people are saying. And I'm just going to kind of assume and create an opinion on that. That's going to be unbelievably damaging toward them. Not really at all anything other than a flippant comment. And this is where it's like, do we demonize her for making, and what I will say is probably a flippant comment in a way that she, I don't think she meant any harm by it. It's hurtful for Christina Aguilera, for sure. But at this point in time, I don't think it's an excuse. I just don't know why it's such a...
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that there needs to be this amount of scrutiny and the whys and what ifs and what does this mean and all of that other stuff. Because I'm like, she is going to make mistakes. You're essentially turning into somebody who's kind of been infantized for quite a while.
Yeah.
Because of her situation. And she's been very open and honest about it. And she's been quite eloquent about it, I think, anyway. In comparison to what we know and the amount of, you know, the amount of stress and strain and substance and everything else that she had to deal with for that length of time. I get the backlash, but I don't think it should be, I think it should be a kind of like a slap on the wrist. Let's move on.
Yeah, I agree. I think it should be like, I would take this down and I would try and understand why people are upset.
Yeah. But I wouldn't be like, this is your career's ruined. You're now known as fatphobic, X, Y, and Z. These are learnings. Yeah. You got them from somewhere. You know.
And I also think as well that unfortunately this leans into this long running narrative about herself and Christina and the feud there and all this kind of stuff. So it's like very much like catnip to the tabloids.
Yeah.
It was reported afterwards that Christina had unfollowed her on Instagram. Now, I didn't know. I wasn't sure if she definitely did. I didn't check before, but neither of them are following each other on Instagram as of today. Britney later posted a picture of two pixies, holding hands. Yeah. And the caption said, by no means was I being critical of Christina's beautiful body. It is what it is. I flew to see her show once. And the main thing that I noticed was the difference of our people on stage. By no means did I even mention Christina. Look at my post. I was inspired by her show and she's a beautiful woman of power. Thank you, Christina, for inspiring me. To be honest, I'm not trying to be critical of anybody. What I posted is a projection of the insecurities I deal with all the time as a result of how my parents and the media have treated me. I would never intentionally body shame anybody because I know what it feels like. I struggle with this because of how I feel about myself, not because I hate how anybody looks. I feel like my family knew I was insecure and people were trying to purposely feed into this insecurity by not letting me have a choice in the people who were on stage with me. I appreciate you all being understanding with me as I figure out this new life I'm living. And I think she kind of got into the weeds a little bit there with the post. And then I was like, okay, no, like, it's not a case of like, this is a result of how I've been treated. So like, I'm going to say what I'm going to say, because I also don't think that's right. But I think she acknowledged at the end of like, I'm figuring out this new life. Like, I'm kind of having to learn all of these things that I didn't have to learn before because I wasn't making any life decisions that someone my age should have been making. So it's just like this really interesting. And I think there are most of the free Britney fan kind of people who are part of that movement, the comments are very much like, Brittany, we love you. We understand what you were trying to say here, but you should educate yourself as to why this was upsetting and remove the post. Now, the post has since been removed. She's kept this kind of apology post up. Yeah. And she's posted numerous times since then. But I just think it's really interesting how quick, like you say, a lot of people were to be like, you know, look how spiteful she is now that her dad isn't running her life.
Yeah, it's like maybe men were the answer. Maybe they weren't, Brian. Maybe
like, but like, it's just, it's mad. And like, obviously this comes after Kevin Federline spoke out in the 60 Minute interview, and Jaden, her son, spoke out, and like all of this public stuff about her kids and how that has all been handled. And like, I he was right. Leave Britney alone. Like, I think she needs to be told that this was right. But like,
terrified of her. Terrified of her having her own control over her own self. Yeah. Not just goes to show how very much she was controlled. Because why is everybody absolutely freaking out about a woman? Fair enough. A very powerful, very influential pop star. But still, just a woman. And why is it such a thing to everyone that she has control over her own life? I think Christina unfollowing her, right thing to do. Her full post, feeling hurt by the post, do what you want. As we said, if you don't like it, unfollow it. Yeah. She probably did the same in a bit of a retaliation, but obviously she was probably a little bit embarrassed about what she said and at that point in time, and how it was kind of, you know, she obviously thought she meant one thing and explained it correctly when it wasn't picked up that way. Because of what she said, you know, and I don't think it's an excuse in any way, shape or form. I don't think she should be excused for her behavior, but I think no, you can kind of go, okay, it makes sense as to why she's saying it.
Yeah.
But not an excuse. It's not okay. She does have to unlearn a lot of stuff and she will have to relearn a lot of things. And should she do it on social? No, but that's what she chose. And I don't think she'll do it again soon.
Yeah. And I also feel like with the point she made about like, you know, she would never intentionally fat shame somebody because that's what she went through. I mean,
I believe
I can't think of any, well, there definitely is some come to mind, but like the body scrutiny that she has been under and just like her, just the scrutiny about her appearance for like 2 decades.
Yeah.
It has been relentless, like relentless. It's, I mean, it just like out, like, I don't know how anybody would survive that kind of constant criticism of their appearance. And I feel like this was more, like you say, the culmination of her not learning these things in real time as someone who should have at those ages growing up. She misstepped, she missed the mark with this one, but she's trying to acknowledge it. And while it still might be a little bit clunky, that's also part of like her history and like where she is. And it's just like, I don't think we should just like absolutely be like, fuck Britney, like that was so outrageous. She posted, like, I don't think now all of a sudden she's free, she's like, let's be a bitch on social media. Like, I think this is just like, she did not learn these kind of things for so long, and now she's trying to figure out that language and that, and how to express herself on social media as openly and honestly as she wants to, but also kind of read. I don't know, it's like, it's sad. I just find the whole thing so sad that like, it's still,
she was triggered by something, you know?
Yeah.
And she wanted to share what she was triggered by and how it made her feel. And again, this is all a lot to do with her taking back her power. So she probably saw something, or I can't remember what the actual post, it was that quote. I doubt she saw that quote. I'd say it was something else that kind of came up and she was like, that gorgeous quote. I'd say it was something else that came up and she was like, yeah, I actually want to tell people about how I'm feeling about this.
Yeah.
But not every, again, not every thought we have needs to be shared. And she's navigating that right now.
Another kind of blast in the past story that came up this week. There's a little bit of a rundown of the dates and times and what's been said and what's not in this one. So apologies in advance for that. But we think we need the receipts here. Ray J.
Yeah.
Is back in our headlines. Yeah. He has been producing receipts about the infamous sex tape that he did with Kim Kardashian that was released back in 2007. And this all comes off the back of Kris Jenner going on James Corden's late night show and doing a lie detector test where she said she had no part in the Ray J, Kim K sex tape and the releasing of it. there is a detailed breakdown of the timeline of their relationship, the sex tape, the continued fallout, the players and all that on The Cut. I'll pop it in the description, a link below, so you can have a read. But this sex tape has, like, we've been led to believe, because obviously we've heard more of Kim's side than Ray J's side in the last 15 years for obvious reasons, has long been kind of a source of embarrassment, we've been told, for the Kardashian-Jenners. And Kim has really worked to kind of separate herself from her history, despite the fact that she built, like, that they built their, what would you call it, their industry off of it. Like, and I think that needs to be acknowledged, the fact that, like, when Ryan Seacrest was looking for a show for E! Entertainment and Chris pitched her family, definitely playing a part in that was the recent sex tape that was released of one of the girls who was friends with Paris Hilton and all the stuff that came along with that. Like, it's a part of their history and the reason, one of the reasons why they got their start, which then led them to their businesses and all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
It became a headline earlier this year when the Kardashians' new show aired on Hulu and they spoke about the sex tape, and more specifically, they spoke about the Kanye West retrieving of the laptop, all that kind of stuff. That led to Ray J initially speaking out about this and saying it was all bullshit and yada, yada, yada. There was no response from the Kardashian-Jenners at that time. Now, bit of context, Kim and Ray J dated from 2002 to 2006. They reportedly filmed the sex tape during a trip to Cabo in 2004, and it became public in 2007 after Vivid Entertainment obtained the footage. Now, the founder of Vivid Entertainment, Steve Hirsch, has told Page Six that he told them this in 2017, that the deal was not brokered by Kim or by Chris. And he also said, or according to Page Six as well, Kim and Ray J both had to sign off on a deal before the tape could be released and were reportedly paid $5 million each. But Hirsch maintained that Kim was very hard against making any kind of deal and it coming out. In 2022, Kim is dating Pete Davidson at the time. Tensions are very high between her and her ex, Kanye West. And Kanye did an interview with Hollywood Unlocked in which he claimed that he went and got the laptop from Ray J the night before Kim hosted SNL. And he implied that this laptop was the one that had the footage containing the sex tape. And he said that Kim cried when he gave it to her. Now, I don't know in what decade we're in where, like, all of the footage is on one,
it's on a laptop,
like, it can't come off the laptop, you have to take the whole computer.
I need that laptop.
I need the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
And he said at the time, it represents how much she's been used, it represents how much people are, how much people didn't love her and they just saw her as a commodity. At the time, Ray J's management didn't comment. And later on The Kardashians, this was shown. We saw Kim getting emotional. And Kim is seen actually in an episode saying that Ray J's manager is claiming he has a sex tape of them in Santa Barbara. When the episodes did air, Ray J commented saying all of this is a lie and he can't let this let them do this anymore. And he said it was all so untrue. And this has kind of started him starting to release the kind of information that he believes are receipts to kind of like explain what really he said happened. He did an exclusive interview with Daily Mail at the time where he said he never leaked a sex tape and that the entire thing was a deal and a partnership between Chris, Kim and himself. And he said that he did float the idea initially and that Kim was open to it. And once she was on board, they convinced Chris. And from there, it was very much like run by Chris and Kim. Now, since then, Chris did the appearance on James Corden. He asked her, did you help Kim release the sex tape? And she said no. And she was proven by a lie detector, which we know stands up in a court of law.
The only way to prove.
Yeah, that she was telling the truth. And this led to Ray J posting a number of Instagram posts where he was sharing these receipts. He took to Instagram and he said he was planning to take them to court, but instead he would be going live to share these receipts on Instagram. He went after the administrator of the polygraph, who Real Housewives of Beverly Hills fans would remember from the episode with Lisa Vanderpump, where she was trying to prove her innocence in Puppygate. Remember that?
Yeah.
So it's the same guy. He's kind of well known. He went on to share the supposed contract that he signed with Vivid Entertainment that he also alleged Kim signed. He also claimed that Vivid Entertainment purchased three separate tapes and that Chris pushed for the release of one over the others because, quote, it gives my daughter a better look. And he said that he demands that they admit that they've been fucking me over and they should immediately bow down to the facts and go ahead and apologize. He said, I just want my daughter and son to appreciate what I've done here on earth. And I know their dad isn't going, doesn't go for exploiting women, disrespecting women and leaking footage of someone who didn't give permission. He then posted about a 44 minute video on Instagram shortly after showing DMs with Kim and that they weren't blocked by each other, because I think that was a suggestion as well. But there's been no response as of today from Kardashian Jenner's. What do you think of it all, Carla?
So.
Let me just
think about this one real quick.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah.
She has gone on to, which is coming up on two decades now of a substantial career. Ray J has made multiple attempts at trying to sustain fame and fortune.
Yeah.
The only reason he is relevant at this point in time is because of Kim.
Yeah.
There is nothing else that he offers. And if you've ever watched Love and Hip Hop Hollywood, I would highly recommend that anybody watch this show, because it is trash TV to the ultimate. I love it so much. The Hollywood one in particular, because it's all faces that you might like recognize and people that essentially from your childhood that you're like, yeah, see, I do remember they had that song. Or yeah, I do remember that. I really, really highly recommend it. Even in Love and Hip Hop, he is like, yeah, my name's Ray J. You'll know me from that. And you'll also know me from Miss Kim Kardashian's sex tape. You know, it's very much part of his personality. I think there's so many different factors at play, but I think this just kind of, I'm surprised that Chris let that question happen with James Corden. I'm so, like, knowing what we know and how much of a like curated media mogul good old Chris is. Yeah. I am surprised that she let that one kind of go over the line, because I think she knew the violence that it would ensue, because he's not going to let this quit, because why would he, when he could possibly at some point in time get financial gain from it? And it's not like, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if Kim and Chris putting it down. I think it was the same as Paris. They got put in a shite situation. What are you going to do? Are you going to let everybody else profit off it? Or are you going to try and take a cut from yourself and try and regain back a little bit of power? If there was three videos and Chris picked which one, I also don't blame her for that. There could be two others that, like, you know, have much more experimental, or, you know, there's plenty of things that could happen. It's a sex tape at the end of the day. I do think it was private and I don't think it was ever made for someone to see it. I think it would have been a bit more obvious in that kind of way, shape or form. I think at the time that Kim and Ray J got together, Ray J was the famous one. Kim was just the bird that he was with. Kim didn't really have a name other than being Rob Kardashian's daughter and Paris Hilton's stylist or fashion coordinator, or sorry, wardrobe coordinator, whatever.
Whatever it was.
You know, Ray J had a couple of hits. He was making enough money. His sister's Brandy. He very much grew up in that kind of way, but he's very obvious about, like, he is very much one of those people where he's like, I am here for the fame.
Yeah.
Like, he says it consistently. He is very much like a Big Brother contestant, you know, kind of way. Like,
and it's so funny because he's come out and it's as if he's trying both of these like narratives to see which one sticks.
Which one sticks?
Because he came out earlier this year and he said, you know, like, as in his career has taken such a hit from this. And he's like, I couldn't be a part of any reputable major network television shows and do Dancing with the Stars and do America's Got Talent or anything like that because of my image, because of what they made me. I'm not allowed to be in those spaces. And it's like, but pal, like, I would absolutely take that on board, because I'm like, I do think that there's places being like, we're not associating with this guy because the main thing people will know him from is a sex tape and that doesn't fit our brand and whatever. I kind of get that, right? But as you say, if you're going on everyone you can get on and absolutely milking that part of your story, then you don't get to hate the fact that other places don't want you for that, because like, you do what Kim has done and bury it. And give them other things and move the narrative forward and do other bits. Like, Kim's career was affected by it as well. And she just took the career that she was given and she built and she built and she built and she built. And now she's like one of the most influential women in the world. And it's like,
are you shocked? I'm not sure. I'm not shocked.
Are you telling me the sex tape is more damaging to the man?
Yeah, like, this is exactly it. I don't know one man who's came out off the back of a sex tape with the worst narrative. I just don't understand. And one thing as well is that Ray J started his career being Brandy's little brother. Brandy was able to go on Dancing with the Stars. You telling me that you couldn't pull her connections? You're not wanted on Dancing with the Stars because nobody wants to see you on Dancing with the Stars. You're not relevant enough.
Why is Dancing with the Stars as well, this idea of like wholesome American television?
I think it's because it restarted so many people's careers over there. And that's all, all Ray J has been trying to do for 15 years is restart his career. That's all that he has been trying to do. He has tried to throw so many, and if you watch Love and Hip Hop, you'll get this. Like, he has tried to throw everything at the wall and make it stick. He's tried to manage boy bands. He's tried to be in boy bands. He's tried to take, you know, when B2K came back and did a tour together, Omarion wouldn't lead it. So he led it. Do you know, it's like all of these different things. Like, this guy has tried to have a music career, has tried to, you know, do everything. One Wish, great tune. Would recommend it. Download, very good.
But, oh, I remember that one.
Yeah, I remember that.
I used to love, did you watch Moesha?
Yeah.
I loved Moesha. So Brandy was Moesha and Ray J played her brother as well in the show, right?
Yeah.
And it was such a good show. And that was kind of my frame of reference for him, because that would have been on like RTÉ2 or something growing up.
Yeah.
So like he
had a lick of fame. Like, he very much covered Phil Collins with Brandy, you know, it happened. But I don't think it's a case of we're just kind of getting to this point. Even if Kim and Chris turned around and were like, yeah, we were all behind him, what does he think he's going to get from it? He's not going to get a payout. He wants to go to court because he wants to try and benefit. Are you really going to go to court against the Kardashians?
Yeah.
You're just not. It's like, there's a couple of people that you're not going to like go to court with.
Yeah.
It didn't work out for Black China. It didn't work out for the other multiple people who thought that they had a case against them. Yeah. You are not going to financially gain anything from this, but he is trying. Yeah. He is still trying.
Yeah.
And it doesn't shock me. It doesn't shock me about his character. It doesn't shock me about anything. I'm surprised. The only thing that shocked me about this is the fact that Chris let that question fly.
Yeah.
But I do think as well that they're in a bit of a tricky situation where, you know, their relevancy is also starting to kind of drop a little bit. And I know that they were on James Corden because they were promoting Kylie Cosmetics, and like, that is tanking 100%. Yeah. That is tanking. Why are you on James Corden?
There's only so many lip kits you can sell. Do you know what I mean? That's my...
You're on James Corden trying to promote a launch of a makeup line. Do you know?
Yeah.
Have we gotten to this point?
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It is weird. And like, also it's that idea of like what you say about Chris not letting that question, but like, also they fed this narrative on the show. So I'm like...
Yeah,
they're definitely okay, and they're feeling confident enough that if he did launch some kind of legal battle, that they'd be like, we are willing to take that risk because I think
she was willing to take the risk for the inches it would give, for the column inches that it would give.
Yeah.
And I think that's where it came down to. It's like, what's something that we can always pull on that there's a morbid curiosity about, that kind of puts me in a bit of a shady light, but almost like boosts me as the momager, like the ultimate manager. Like, let's continue to really boost up this narrative where it's like, oh my God, Kris Jenner, would she be that? Oh, maybe she would be like that. Her own daughter, maybe. But she looks
and like you said, if it came out now and was proven that they did, it would be like, and what? Like, it might clean up his image. Maybe it would change the perception on him a little bit. But like,
she'll probably wear a Queen Liz gown to the Nick Met Gala. Like, that's probably where we're at, you know? It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They're beyond, you know.
Yeah.
You know what it's like with America and the fact that they don't really, like, they don't have that kind of history of a monarchy, and they try and create celebrity to fill that gap for them. The Kennedys were the first foray. The Kardashians, I'm pretty sure, are right up there for them. They attach themselves to family. I don't think Ray J coming out and being like, there was three cuts of a tape. No one cares, man. Like, two in Cabo, one Santa Barbara. Again.
Like...
Find somebody who gives more of a shite about that than about, you know, Chloe possibly giving some tea on Tristan. It's just not a thing. It's not a thing.
Yeah.
Replace another baby name. They'll do something. They'll change the narrative once it stops.
This is it. Yeah. That, like, and we discussed this on Unpopular Opinion about the Kim and Pete breakup. And what else did we discuss? Chloe and
Tristan
having the baby via the surrogate and all this kind of stuff. And like, on Unpopular Opinion that I believe that I don't think Chris like fabricates stories to fill the press, but I do think that she has a bank of stories that she can use when and if she needs things, like the Kim and Pete breakup came like the day before Chloe and Tristan announced that they'd had the baby. And I do believe that that was a timed thing to try and give Chloe a bit of a break and, you know, that kind of stuff. And I just think if you're going up against that kind of system,
you're not.
And if you don't have concrete, I just think the evidence that he's got could be kind of construed either way. Like he showed a contract, but yeah, they had to
sign something.
You know, they had to sign something. So but you could be kind of misrepresenting what that might mean, you know? So it's like, I just, like you said, do we care? I just kind of was like, you're going live and you're putting up 45 minute videos.
Yeah.
To discuss this.
Like, what else does he have to be doing? And even the fact that he's like, I'm doing this for my kids. Man, you have ripped your wife off publicly so many times and gone back and around the houses about these kids and about what they mean and whatever. Poor Princess Love is sitting at home being like, stop talking about your ex. Seriously.
Dad, would you stop?
No, that's his wife. Princess Love is his wife.
Is she the wife?
Yeah, Princess Love.
Princess Love.
And she is like beautiful.
Like by birth. Princess Love.
Princess Love, yeah, by birth. Right. Yeah, I know. Crazy, huh?
Crazy. Okay, on to the next one. Did you watch Selling the OC? Did you watch it?
I watched the first few episodes and I was kind of like, this is better than I anticipated.
I hate Selling Sunset.
I don't like Selling Sunset.
It's
It's poor. It's poor, poor, poor.
And people are drinking the Kool-Aid on Selling Sunset. They're like putting on their Instagram like, oh my God, yes, it's back. And I'm like, are you actually like frothing that it's back for you? I just think it's so boring, like so boring.
It's so boring. Nothing happens. You have to remember the first couple of, like the first seasons kind of got us in a weird time. And we're kind of nice and glossy. Adam DeVillo's back. Interesting. You know, in that kind of way. But at this point in time, I'm like, this is boring. This is boring.
Like the only interesting storyline that they had ever was the idea that Christine was trying to poach clients and give them money. And I was like, oh my God, give me this. Like, and then Christine was like, oh, I've got COVID, I'm not doing the reunion. I'm like, sorry, you gave us one whiff of a decent storyline. And then you were like, yeah, that's all we're going to give you on that. It's like, what the fuck? Like wild. So Selling the OC, I was like, oh, I feel like this is going to be even more like sanitized and boring. Yeah.
I think it's more dramatic. Yeah. Yeah. I need to finish it now, but I know what story we're about to talk about. I actually know more about Brittany Snow than I do about the Selling the OC kind of part. So that's So it's a bit of an interesting one. But I do think out of the Selling franchise, Selling the OC is better.
Selling the OC, I think it's better. I think the characters are better for a reality show. You've got real clear and Christine was like a grand villain, but she was a bit like, I just found her so panto. Like everyone's like, Christine Quinn is one of the best reality TV stars of all time. I'm like, is she? Like, is she's so panto. Like, it's just too much.
She's no Tiffany Haddish.
No. And people being like, get her on The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. I'm like, really? Like,
I think she'd be good on something like that. Cause I think she'd know to spin a story. And I think she'd know, I think she'd serve looks, which we love. I think she'd serve storylines, but like not in a runaway. And I think she's young enough to kind of cause a bit of a stir with the other castmates that they'd be a bit like, this blow in. But I do think it would work in a way, you know?
I just don't think she deserves like iconic reality star status yet.
I don't think she builds
her up.
I think she does more for the, I do think she does more for the show than any of the others. Like,
oh yeah.
Who's rooting for Chriselle or bloody Jason?
Mary or someone.
Like, yeah, Mary. God bless Roman. Oh, come on. Like,
I'm so happy that you're having a family. I just don't care.
I just don't care about them. I don't care enough about you to make this a cool storyline.
I don't want to go to your baby shower next season. Like, I'll watch every episode because I have a weird fascination with why people love it more than actually want to watch it. Because I'm like, maybe one day it'll click with me, but I'm just like, no. And like, my standards are on the floor. Like, I'll watch anything.
Like, Love and Pop is there. It's right there.
The cycle for that. Selling the OC, definitely better. We got introduced to Tyler Staniland, which is not the second name I got yet.
Yeah.
Certainly a name. As one of the brokers in the new Oppenheim group building.
OC group.
In the OC, whatever, right? He's on the new one. And he is introduced to us and we learned that he is the husband of Brittany Snow. Now, I was like, oh my God, yeah. Because I remember seeing pictures of Brittany Snow's wedding 2 years ago. They got engaged in 2019. They got married got married in 2020. And I remember being like, oh, her wedding looks so amazing. And I just think she's divine. I'm a huge Pitch Perfect fan. Yeah. And like John Tucker Must Die fan. And like, yeah. I was just like, Brittany Snow is like very much like a millennial sweetheart, right? So I was like, oh, yeah. Okay, great. She's married to Brittany Snow. Love him. They announced their separation last week. They announced it on Wednesday. And they put up similar, like mirrored statements. Brittany posted, after time and consideration, Tyler and I have made the difficult decision to separate. This decision was made with love and mutual respect for one another. We've realized we need to take some time and make sure we are each living our most fulfilling and authentic lives. We started this journey as best friends, and our relationship will continue to be a priority, not only for us, but for our dog, Charlie. We sincerely appreciate your support and ask for privacy as we navigate this new chapter. I was like, not the fucking dog, like not for the dog.
Always the dog.
Always the dog, right? Like they were just like grand statements out there. This was hardly surprising to anyone who has seen Selling the OC, because in the show, we're pretty quickly given the impression that one of the main stars, Alex Hall, has a bit of a like soft spot for Tyler. Like she kind of talks about how good looking he is and how well they get on and yada, yada. And, you know, there's references that he's married and all this kind of stuff, like very much leaning into like, she definitely fancies him, but he's married, so she doesn't go there. And we're also introduced to another character who we're told tries to kiss him multiple times off camera. And it's a big kind of discussion on the show, and it's a big drama in the show, and it causes a lot of problems for her and for between her and the other girls, mainly Alex, who's very upset that she tried to kiss this guy that we all
like. A bloke that she's gonna fancies, like, right? He's also married.
So like you're watching the show and you're like, if I'm Brittany Snow, like a person who's been in the public eye for like a long time and has had publicists and all this kind of stuff for a very long time, I'd be fucking fuming if my fellow went on a reality TV show and immediately within the first like four episodes is the center of it, like a cheating scandal. Like I'd be like, what the fuck?
Two co-stars.
Like I would be absolutely bullying if I was her. So when this came out, I was like, yeah, that yeah, absolutely yeah. tracks. This absolutely tracks yeah, with yeah. how he behaved on this show. Yeah. Like yeah. wild.
Yeah. And this is the thing. They were friends for a very long time before
yeah.
they got together. And before they, I think they were together for 5 years in total, was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was yeah,
like that. But they were, they'd known each other for like a decade. That's, like for you, and this is where it's like, I hate this narrative, but it truly is like, men don't know how to act sometimes when they get a bit of fame, like yeah. when they get a bit of attention. It was like, I'm going on a reality TV. Like they were obviously, she was an actress. That's grand. He was a real estate, like, are they real estate sellers?
Brokers?
Are they? We don't know. We don't really know. They're kind of like people who have an interest in houses and cars. That's kind of like who they are.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you go through the records of how many houses were sold. It's like yes. three per season. But like if it was on Davina, it'd be zero. But we're at this kind of point where it was kind of like, if he was doing it to kind of have a storyline, you're an asshole. If he was doing it because, you know, he actually had that bit of attention because, you know, they wanted to kind of create that drama. Yeah. You're an asshole.
You're an asshole.
Like, what way? How did you let this become yeah. a narrative?
Yeah.
If you had any respect for your wife, who apparently was your friend, who apparently was like your friend for a long time, plus your wife.
Yeah.
Why did you let this fly? Why did you say okay?
Yeah.
At what point did you say, do you know what? You can't turn around and go, I didn't know that this was happening.
Yeah,
the most obviously put together. You could write a book on Adam DeVello and what he does, and you know whose Birkins he's offered to do whatever storylines, whatever else like that. Like we're at a kind of point now. We know too much about reality TV to know when you are and aren't being manipulated. I truly don't believe that this guy was like, I don't know, I'm just really good looking. They just all fancy me, and expect his wife to be like, that's an excuse. That's okay.
And they tried to convince us multiple times, like after this story about them, was it Kayla, I think was her name, tried to kiss Tyler. He was like, oh, someone asked Tyler, when the lads asked Tyler in their like bro moment, like, you know, what does your wife make of this? And he was like, oh, she's fine. I told her about it straight away. Like, that's nothing. Like, it means nothing for us. Like, we're solid. Like, it's grand. And also in another moment, like Alex says to Cam, like in her diary room or whatever, she's like, you know, or said it on Instagram, I think, like, Brittany has nothing to worry about. Like, that's a silly narrative that the fans are coming up with. And it's like, no, 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 no. Like, we want you all go to like the beach for like some after work drinks, where he's like literally like, you're literally koala bearing around him and like stroking his face. Like, I don't think we're like reaching for any narrative here. Like, you're very clearly presenting us with this narrative that like he's trying, like people are trying to kiss him and people are trying to rub up in him on like a very regular basis. And he doesn't seem to outraged by it. Like, he no. just doesn't. Like, he
very
doesn't.
Much one of these, there's no smoke without fire, and they're creating the smoke and fire at this point. Yeah. So
The reports are saying that Snow was not, Brittany was not happy about what she learned from, I mean, no. Like, honestly, I was like, this is not a statement that needs to be made. But she was not happy about the selling the OC and what had gone on. They were reportedly having problems before this, and this was the last straw. Now, whether that was true or not, I don't know. But a source told People that Brittany never wanted Tyler to be on the show, but he was adamant that he wanted to be on there. He wanted to make a name for himself on his own terms. Now, his family are have a real estate empire themselves, like, which he worked for many years. We see it in the show where he kind of references, you know, this is his first time going out on his own and not working for his family brokerage and all this kind of thing. So I don't think he's like from, like, he's not like a nobody with no money of his own, or, you know, trying to kind of prove whatever. Like, he's a wealthy guy from family money.
So, and do you go on a show like that because you want fame? Like, that's,
I don't get this, like,
translates to me. I'm like, you didn't need this, you brought this onto yourself.
Yeah. Why? Exactly. And it's so it's like, you're not making a name for yourself, like financially or something. Like, if it was that, I'd be like, I kind of get that, maybe that want to be like, I don't want to be on someone's arm all the time. I want to be, you know, trying to contribute equal to what my partner is contributing and all that kind of stuff. Like, I kind of get that. But like, wanting to make a name is fame. You didn't want, it's not about money because you have money. So you want to be famous
because you were on selling the OC. Like, yeah. No one's going to be like, oh, that's. Look at the way
he loves that guy on that Netflix series. Like, I've got two up, two down. Can you help me out? Like, no, like, it just reads, my wife is famous and I hate being her plus one.
I hate it. Like,
yeah.
Much as I thought it was okay at the start, I've thought about it, I've been with it for long enough, I actually hate it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is manifested essentially directly into my lap. He didn't need the money. He didn't need the notoriety. Well, I'm sorry. Yeah. He wanted the notoriety. He didn't need it. It wasn't aiding anything else. I totally understand the other girls. Look at the success that Chriselle and Christina and all those others, the others have had. I get it. So I'm like, you're going to elevate your profile. You're going to become an influencer. You're going to have opportunities, whatever else like that. And you're going to be a bit of a celeb. Totally understand it. For him to turn around and be anything other than absolutely and totally honest about what was going on, stupid. Yeah. And that's probably why she never wanted him to go on the show. Because if I was an actress and I was married and my fella had money and I had money and we were comfortable and we were happy, or so I thought, and then all of a sudden you turned around and she's well aware because she's in that industry. So she's well aware of how it changes who you are and your personality and the way that you're portrayed as well. And the fact that you can't really control reality TV, you know?
Yeah.
Take a movie, people know, oh, you're playing a part. She was well aware. There's a reason why they don't tend to be like, reality TV savage.
Yeah.
So,
and now it's the case of like, will he be back for season two? Presumably yes, because he wants to make a name for himself. And this is the perfect way. Now he's going to be very central to the storyline. But like, how do you come off as a good guy here? Because like,
you don't. So well done you. You've cast yourself not only in this, but you've casted as a villain. They always do well, don't they?
Yeah. And if they're going to try and sell me like a romance between him and some of the other girls in the office next season, I'm going to be like, do you know what, Netflix? You can keep your selling series because all of them are shite. Like, just selling Sunset is done. The selling Miami, was it Miami?
Oh, that was dog shit. That was so bad. Yeah.
So bad.
Yeah.
That like selling the OC definitely had me like, maybe we've got some. We got some here. But if this is going to lean into like, oh, like cute office romance when it's Brittany Snow, like, know your target audience, pal. Because like, your target audience is Brittany Snow fans.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just telling you, right? I'm just telling you right now, it's not it. We're not the one.
We don't ride for Tyler.
We're not here for Talix shipping. You know what I mean? Like, we're not.
Okay.
Okay, that wraps up our news of the week. Your loves of the week, Carla. This is going to be a segment we do each week where you can discuss anything that you've been enjoying. It can be telly, it can be a reality TV show, it can be a celebrity story, but it can also be a nail polish cover color, or a routine, or a fun quote you found on Instagram, maybe on Britney Spears' Instagram. So what have you been loving this week?
I have been loving Brit Barbie. Please tell me you know who Brit Barbie is.
No.
Okay. She's a TikTok.
Can I Google while you're talking?
You want me to? I think I can play it and it will make so much more sense to you guys once you hear this. So Brit Barbie is a TikToker. Okay. She is very much a viral star of the moment.
Yes. I recognize her face. Yes, I recognize her face.
Of course, because it's important that you do. So she has released, do we say released? She went viral because she has a song, shall we say, or a kind of a thing that she came up with, and it's called Period Period. I'm going to play you a little snippet from it because it's kind of gone. Yeah, it's gone viral. And she is, you know, I would implore everybody to Google her so you kind of get the visual.
Okay.
Same as well. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to give you just a little snip now of Brit Barbie.
Is this how it goes for the whole thing?
And then she does a break, and we love the fact that she does a break, because what's happened is celebrities are now starting to break. So Chloe Bailey did a verse, and to be honest, I think it's pretty baller. I think it's a great verse. She does a little verse to Period A, Period A. So
it is catchy.
Got my name up in your web, you don't know no better. Don't forget I'm from the south, yeah, got them headers. You watching everything I do, studying all of my moves. Wish you knew what I do.
Never let it be said. Silk purse pig's ear. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know. So yeah, there's been multiple people who have now hopped on period. I really want you guys to look it up because she sticks her tongue out for the period. So I've been obsessed with watching everybody's covers. Yeah, as I said, Chloe Bailey did them.
Is that all her content on TikTok? Like, is this her first like viral, or has she other stuff on TikTok?
No, she's other stuff on TikTok.
Okay. This is the one.
For herself in the music industry for some time. Baby Tate has done a version. Johnny Blaze, Cali has done a version. Like, there's good versions.
Reputable.
Reputable people are using this as their latest beat, if you will. Their latest beat. And I love the fact it sounds like I made it on GarageBand in like 2005. I love that fact. I'm just like, yeah, everything I just did is so grimy.
Yeah, I you're right though. You need to have a picture of her. You need to watch it. Like, you need to know what she looks like to get the vibe. Like, oh, I'm seeing a meme now of her with her tongue out actually as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a period.
That'd be the and not the not that.
Thank you.
Well, funny enough, one of my loves of the week
was Brit Barbie.
Was TikTok, because I'm 700 years old. I speak about this a lot on my paper, that I am very terrified of TikTok. And I've made a real conscious effort, Cara, in the months since Love Island ended, to get that algorithm TikTok up to shape to deliver me the goods that I need. I am not yet at Brit Barbie talk
level.
But is it too late to say I get the hype? Like, I'm like, oh yeah, I see why people are on this all the time. Like, okay.
Every day.
There's no need to be scared. Like, this is, I think it's scary at the beginning when there's nothing there for you, because you're like, know me at all. We're strangers to each other. And now we're more familiar, and it knows what I need and when I needs it. And I'm seeing that daily usage on what, like, the internet go up, and I'm like, it's definitely TikTok. I'm not a Brit Barbie yet. I'm not. And I'm finding that's actually a big part of my TikTok, the algorithm that's not fed yet, is like the kind of like the corn and like all the kind of songs I'm not getting yet.
You're not getting
it. So hold on, let me, I'm just making sure my phone is like in earshot. So maybe it'll
listen to me. I want more attack.
Yeah. I need more of this. Yeah. Other than that, I don't know. Have you been watching Bad Sisters? Have you seen Bad Sisters?
No.
Oh, I am jealous of you. You get to start it from the beginning. It is Sharon Horgan's series with Apple TV. It is cracker. It is so good. It stars Sharon Horgan. It stars Eve Hewson, daughter of Bono. It stars Sarah Green, Cork actress, Anne-Marie Duff, Darren McCormack, who was in, he was in The Centrad. Anyway, remember that.
Brilliant.
It's brilliant. It's really, really good. It's based on like a Danish series, I'm pretty sure. It's like, it's been adapted for like English TV. It's on Apple TV. And I know that's annoying for a lot of people because they don't have that subscription. You can get a free trial. I would say wait, if you're going to bounce after the free trial, wait. It's not all out yet. There's 6 episodes. I believe there's 2 more. It's cracking. It's the story of these 5 sisters who, are really close. They live in some kind of swanky seaside part of Dublin. It looks like potentially like Howth or somewhere. Feels like Howth or somewhere. They're always at Forest Foot and stuff like that. Like going for like morning swims and shite, right?
Yeah.
So it's very like Dublin-esque, right? It is about the 4 of the 5 sisters who hate their 5th sister's husband, who is played by Claes Bang. Is his name. He is terrifying in the role of John Paul. He is this really controlling, really scary husband who just has broken his wife down to being like this like really timid, controllable woman who's just is afraid to make any life decision. It's awful. And her 4 sisters are like, he's destroying her. She's like not the person we ever knew. And they decide, this isn't a spoiler, it's very much in the trailer if you've not seen it, but they're like, we need to kill him. And we need to save our sister. And it's this whole story of like how they plan to kill him, what all of their motives are, you know, what things have gone on in their past to kind of drive this hatred. It's brilliant. It's also really funny. Sharon Horgan is just endlessly likable. She's just so likable. But yeah, like I said, 6 episodes are on Apple TV. I think there's 8 total. So if you're going to just like scoop in for the free trial, wait till all 8 are there. But it's so good. And we got back from holidays yesterday and we had 2 episodes to binge. And I was like, I was just like feasting like on 2 episodes. I was just so delighted. Right, we were talking earlier about the Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera, and Christina and them unfollowing each other. And we have spoken about this on My Pen and Paper. We spoke about it on The Unpopular Opinion about if it's not for you on social media, that's fine. Just unfollow. The unfollow is so easy, guys. You should get more comfortable with it. Some of us are more comfortable than others. We were asking our listeners who are new, guys, thanks so much for coming through with some stories. I was terrified we would have to make these up, but we didn't. We got some really good ones. We asked you guys to let us know what the pettiest reason you had for unfollowing someone on social media. And we got quite a few really petty reasons. We're going to start off easy, right? Kind of lowball. Someone unfollowed someone for pretending to eat biscuits all the time and they were a liar. Percy, how did you know they were lying?
They were a liar.
Yeah.
I actually want to know more about how you knew that they were a liar than I understand that. That kind of like lying about food to me to become relatable just truly it'll never actually
like what?
My brain. Huh?
What food is relatable?
Oh, well, people just being like, oh my God, I'm eating all the time. I'm just a big eater. Nom, nom, nom. Here I am having a bar. Like, I'm just a chocolate fanatic. I am just the chocolate fanatic of the world. You know, that kind of stuff. Yeah, that grates me. So I do understand, but I'd like to know how you proved they were
lying. Yeah, this sounds like someone pretty close to home. Like,
yeah, like it. Yeah, so you're a liar.
Yeah, I can just see the Chloe like, liar. I unfollowed a school friend who posted an awful pic of her wedding. Blurry, not centered, couldn't see the dress.
I love it. That would break.
It's like fuck off out of here. I've been refreshing your feed all day just to get a goo and you've like literally uploaded this shit. Like, get out of here.
Like, how dare you?
I don't unfollow people I know. right? Because I don't want to be mean.
I'm mute.
But Christmas dinner, this one happened. The food they posted looked unappetizing. Someone unfollowed for that. And I'm like, for the love of God, your Christmas dinner looks like shit.
Yeah.
It might look gorgeous in person. It looks like shit on Instagram.
It does. Yeah. It's the worst.
Like, it's the ugliest meal.
If you want to share it to Connor Ryan. He rates them on his story every Christmas. Do that. Just don't make me see it.
Spare the rest. Like, unless I'm getting some kind of witty commentary along with it.
Yeah.
I don't, you know what I mean? I just don't want, like.
I just don't want it.
Yeah. I just don't want it.
Keep it.
I unfollowed someone because they made a joke about not trusting Leos. I don't believe in astrology, but I'm still not about that shit. The astrology thing is a bit, it's a bit all over Instagram. Do you know it? Are you an astrology person?
I'm an astrologist.
Are you? Do you love that kind of stuff?
I love it. I love it so much. Yeah.
Like the moons and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so into it. Like, oh, I could read it for sure. Yeah. 100%.
Oh my God. I unfollowed this girl because she kept posting her and her brother with weirdly intimate captions.
You should have kept following. I need to know more about that situation. You should have kept it. I would have liked to see.
Weird. Mm-hmm. Intimate as well.
I'd love to hear an example.
Yeah, I kind of wish I had screenshots for some of these. For, do you know what I mean? Like, intimate.
The only one who knows where all my secret tattoos are. You're like,
oh my God, that came to you way too quickly.
But I was just starting to think, I was like, what is, like, what's an intimate caption that
they would know
that you could post and not be like, yo, me and my brother are fucking, do you know what I mean? It would have to be something like, what's weirdly intimate? Like, tell me what's weirdly intimate.
Do you think they like still take baths together or something?
Yeah, like, oh, the only person I go for bath time with, what? The only lad I share a shower with, what?
What? I even followed someone for sharing a pic of their teeny tiny cellulite to show people just how like the they are. I fucking hate people on Instagram.
It's like this mid-size. You could get me on another podcast about this poxy mid-size movement. Oh man. I'm like, just say you want attention for your body, but you don't register yourself as a Kate Moss. Like, do you know what I mean? I'm like, just say what you actually mean.
Yeah.
I've seen people at 10s and 12s. Like, I'm like, do I have to bring you back to, So I'm like, mid-size was created for people who are over a size 16, which is technically a plus size 16 and over, but can still shop on the high street. That is the whole point of mid-size, so that they weren't conflated with plus size, and because they cannot share in the same issues and struggles because they can still get some selection of their size on the high street. That was the whole point. Mid-size is not you wanting to show yourself in a bikini and being like, I'm a mid-size girl though, you know, I'm not like the skinny girl, I'm a mid-size girl. Like, that's not it.
Yeah. And it's also hard for people then who actually want that content, who are like, I actually do fit in that category and I find it hard to shop. Yeah. But I don't want to like pretend I have it harder than people who are like plus size, who literally have to go to like specific retailers and like really research.
The shite, like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, like, it's also hard for those people who are genuinely trying to seek out people to kind of find those places that they can get clothes that they like without kind of, and then they find a lot of people who are like, oh, I'm a size 12. And it's like, and your difficulty shopping is what? I love that you are showing off your style on Instagram. I love it. I love that you feel the confidence to share that. And I love that there are people who find that helpful or inspiring or whatever. But like, the language that you're using around your body is like,
it's kind of gross. Mid-size doesn't sit well. Like, it's a weird one. This whole mid-size thing, it doesn't sit well with plus size people either, because it's like, we're not plus size, we're mid size, you know? Yeah. So like, we're not the big bad plus size. We're not fat. We're kind of fat, but we're not that kind of fat.
Yeah.
So there's a totally
like a less offensive
way. Yeah, like a less offensive way of saying like fat, you know, that kind of way. I'm fat, but maybe just to men, Like women maybe wouldn't see me as fat, but men definitely will. Do you know, it's this kind of whole thing where we're back again. Yeah. We really have to have this conversation.
Yeah.
And again, once again, body positivity. We know I was created. we could be here all day talking about it. That was also stolen and commercialized. Here we go again with mid-size. If I see one more size 12 influencer put up a Shein haul being like mid-size fashion inspo, I'm going to smash my phone. And cope.
It is just, it is frustrating just to see those spaces just be like hijacked by people who don't. Yeah. There's loads of space for everybody on the internet. Just find somewhere else. Yeah. Like, don't come in and like hijack a space that some people actually need or really value and put yourself in there when you're not, because maybe you feel like it's frustrating. It's
just because you want an algorithm, essentially. Like, you want to fit into a slot and you want to be seen. Like, there's three that come to mind, and every time, and I really like them because I actually know them in person. This is the worst part. I know them in person. I know they're really lovely people. And I'm actually at the point where I'm like, do I even approach them about it? Because I'm just kind of like, come on now to fuck.
Yeah.
Come on now to fuck. I know that you're looking to like hit an algorithm, hit, you know, a hashtag or whatever else like that. But it's not you.
Yeah.
It's not you. It really is.
Yeah.
You know?
Someone unfollowed someone for posting that cartoon of Paddington and the Queen talking about taking her back to her husband.
Grim Reaper, Paddington Bear. What a time to be alive.
Paddington Bear is fucking everywhere. Every shop window now has just Paddington Bear teddies in it. I'm like, what is this brand alignment that has happened between Paddington? Like, just mad. Someone unfollowed people for sharing. We're into like the UK listenership here. Someone unfollows someone for sharing Captain Tom tributes. Do you remember Captain Tom?
100%. So if you are that person, please send them the articles on his daughter and the situation that's happening now with that whole charity. Please, I'm imploring you. Whoever you are, you've got a social responsibility to actually update that person on what's happened since.
This one's so funny. I had a dream my boyfriend got with Terry McAvoy, so I had to unfollow her.
I get it. I totally get it. That's trauma. Well,
isn't that so funny when you have a dream about something like that and you actually hold the resentment and you're like, this is totally a fictionalized thing.
Yeah. It didn't happen too long ago. I was watching Made in Chelsea, and for some reason I obviously envisioned that like Tom was Spencer, and I had a dream that he cheated on me. The next day I was like, because you cheated on me last night, you were making me dinner. Like, we're watching way too much Made in Chelsea. I was like, I don't care.
You've got some serious making up to do.
Hey, cannot believe you're banging Lucy Watson. What's that about?
I unfollowed someone because they posted a response to their question box with, not a question, just want to say how amazing you are. Absolutely, bye. Why do people do that? Why wouldn't they do a question like, let's have a chat? And then someone's just like, no question, just want to say I love you. Like,
Okay. No, the worst is when you're like, hi, can you help me? Like, I'm in Dunn's and I'm wanting to know what the best bread is. And they're like, can you share the answers? Every time, I'm no help. Can you share? I did it about concealer the other day. My whole body, can you share? You have to put bold up the top every single time. Every single time you have to post it being like, I will share the answers if you don't annoy me. Every time.
What's the pettiest thing you've ever unfollowed someone for?
I think I'm just after giving a list of like 100 examples.
Let me dig into the archives.
Yeah, like at this point in time, like there's little things that just like little gripes that will annoy me, but anything that's like a consistent, I don't care about. One thing that drives me up the walls in particular, and it's with obviously the industry that I was in, which is makeup artists. Like, if you're a makeup artist, you're clearly not a makeup artist unless you put a pan out that you're on a shoot. Like, it's like their favorite thing to do, or that there's an early morning. Like, of course there's an early morning. You're doing bridal. Like, that's your job. Like, I'm not going to take a photo of a spreadsheet and be like, off I go again.
Right. Well, we're all petty bitches. Carla Kay, that is the end of our first episode. Thank you so much for being here with me. I was very nervous, but I feel like we've had a good time. I think we've built up an L rapport, me and you, over the years of chatting far too much shit about people we don't know. Mm-hmm. So we're well used to it.
We're well able.
Well versed. I hope you have a great week. We'll be back next week with more pop culture news, more loves of the week, more of your stories. And look, hopefully it'll be a bit, you know, more streamlined.
Live from the queue.
Yeah.
Live from the queue that you're finally in.
And we did it. Episode one, finito. Thank you so much to my guest, Carla Kay, for being here to really hold my hand through this. Guys, I can't tell you. I was really nervous. Thank you to you guys for tuning in this week and hopefully each and every one after this. I really, really can't tell you how much the support means. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok, if you'll believe it, at don'tquoteme.podcast. You can also find us on all of your favorite podcast apps so you can listen whenever and wherever you like. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode, all the latest goss, and a very exciting guest. We'll talk to you then.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.